Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday, and the Brewers are 1-0. Come on now. Absolutely love the Brew Crew taking it to the Mets. One hit in the Mets on opening day. Godspeed, Milwaukee Brewers. 162-0 on the offering. Let's go. Still thinking about maybe going to Citi Field tomorrow, taking the game, but we'll see. Hello to everybody in the comments. Thanks for showing up on a Friday afternoon, heading into the weekend, talking about the Green Bay Packers here at Cheesehead TV. And the fact that, you know, I was discussing various kind of aspects of the team with someone inside 1265 Lombardi today. And it really hit me that, you know, the fact that the Packers were where they were last offseason, as far as a lot of unknowns, a lot of, I'm not going to say trepidation, but a lot of, you know, kind of first time in a long time where you didn't have Aaron Rodgers, you weren't really expected to compete for a championship, you certainly weren't expected to make, you know, a deep run in the playoffs, which of course we know absolutely transpired. To fast forward and feel the vibe around the team now and on the precipice of possibly maybe becoming that annual contender again in such a quick time, in such a quick kind of turnaround. I just don't know if Packers fans appreciate, you know, how rare it is to be rooting for a team that, you know, as good as so many teams are and do win lots of games. You do not see sustained success in one NFL city the way you have in Green Bay for such a long time. Brian Gutekunst has them positioned now to become, again, a perennial contender. I'm not saying the work is done. I'm not saying he's arrived or his team is perfect or anything like that. But the fact that they are sitting where they are as far as not only coming off a season that certainly showed a world of promise down the stretch, the way they played that final kind of 2 months of the season into the playoffs, coupled with where he's positioned them, not only through his moves in free agency the last couple of weeks, but certainly five picks, you know, in those first 2 days of the draft, the ability to possibly add some really premier talent and form a nucleus that can become a team that should win a lot of games over the course of these next few years. Man, it's just rarefied air to be fans of a team that operates at this level. And I know people call me a homer and say I'm just brown-nosing the team, and that's all hilarious when I hear from certain parts of the team. But, yeah, I'm just so grateful that the Packers operate the way they do. And there's lots of teams making lots of moves and making lots of headlines this time of year that end up not winning a ton of games and certainly do not build anything long-standing the way the Packers have over the last 30-plus years. And it feels like they're set to continue that into, you know, another decade, possibly here. A lot of work to be done yet, but I'm a fan. I'm allowed to dream, and that's where I'm at. We are on the precipice of another very special run with a team that could win a boatload of games and, yes, win a championship or maybe even two. Who knows? Let's get crazy, right? But yeah, the window is ready to be pried open and propped open. Work's not done. Never is. 365 day a year job. But man, it's exciting times in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, I say all that and week one will come and they'll lose. And, you know, I know the bridges will be burning and people will be pitchforking out to 1265. But at the moment, there's so much promise and so much hope with this team. I am, for one, myself, I'm very excited. Hello to everybody in the comments. So good to see you. Hope you're all doing well. Abdul coming out of the gate firing. I'm going to get to all your super chats here, starting with Brendan. What's up, man? Random Packers mascot, Packy Packer. What's so funny, I just made my youngest daughter aware of Packy Packer for the first time when we were on the plane down to Orlando. I said, you know, the Packers had a mascot at one point. She didn't believe me. So I Googled it and showed her. Mimsy, what's up, man? Why isn't this live from Flushing with Reese Hoskins? Because some of us got to work, man. I had actually thought about going yesterday if it hadn't been a rain out, but I had way too much on the calendar today, unfortunately. But hey, big win for the Brew Crew. Abdul, what's up, man? Hey, Aaron. Micah High, Julian Blackman, Quandre Diggs are all still free agents. As we're about to enter fourth week of free agency, why not get one? Would be cheap and seems low risk, high reward. Random Packer, Alan Barber. Ooh, man. Ooh, some rough days with Alan Barber there. Why not get one? Because there's a salary structure and there's a, you know, a salary cap. And just because they are out there doesn't mean they're cheap. And we have no idea what their demands are. Maybe they're out there because they want to get paid. And maybe they're waiting to see what happens in the draft and see how teams shake out at the position before signing somewhere. Now, that's just, you know, playing devil's advocate. But I also think there's very little reason to believe that those calls aren't happening and the Packers aren't checking in with some of those guys. But I do think the Packers may make a signing or two still prior to the draft. We've still got a month to go, right? But that the way you phrase that question sounds very much like making a move just to make it. Like none of those guys, they're all still on the market, right? And probably more likely than not, none of them are going anywhere anytime soon, at least not until we get closer to the draft. The Packers will be judicious, and if there's a deal to be made there and they can bring a guy in probably on a one-year deal, I suspect they will. But that takes two to tango. It takes a guy to agree to that type of deal, right? And also, I think the Packers, and Brian talked about this at the owners' meetings, they've put a pretty significant investment at one of the safety spots by signing McKinney. Most likely, they'll look to the draft to augment that position. That doesn't mean that it's impossible that they sign one of these guys. Again, it depends on price, timing, etc. But yeah, just because they're out there doesn't mean you have to go sign one. You know, you fast forward to the season starting and you never know how one of those draft picks may shake out. Maybe there's a guy that they absolutely adore and love and have been tracking throughout his entire time in college and they're just chomping at the bit to get him in the draft. Now, we don't know. They always have 10 times more information than we do on the outside sitting in. But again, to put it as clear as possible, any one of those signings could still occur prior to the draft or maybe even after. But I think the way they'll build their team is through the draft picks. Matt, what's up, man? Random Packer, Aaron Rouse had a 99-yard pick six off Peyton Manning in 08. First Packer I ever met, also from my hometown of Virginia Beach. Man, I remember that play so well. That was a great, great jump in the end zone. And then, like you say, taking it back 99 yards. Outstanding afternoon of football there in Lambeau Field. That is a great play. Peter, what's up, man? What makes the Pack such a well-run franchise? There's a lot of levels to that one, Peter. Mostly it's because they have systems in place on both sides, both football and business, that are run in, you know, at a very high level by very smart people. I think the executive committee and the board have reached a point in their history where they understand that the less they are involved on the football side, the better it is for the team. And they don't run roughshod over the CEO or anybody on the football side for the most part. I think, you know, you've gotten to a point in Green Bay where there's enough institutional knowledge on both sides where they understand where the pitfalls are. And they've been very, very fortunate to have people in positions high up who understand, you know, the need, especially in Green Bay, to think long term as opposed to trying to make things happen year to year, taking big swings and putting them in precarious situations. You know, for the most part, I think it comes back to a lot of the things that Bob Harlan put in motion when he became president and CEO all those years ago, and the kind of sea change that occurred when he did. They went from very much being kind of driven by the executive committee and the board and things outside of football to maybe not having a complete, you know, siloing off of the football side, but making sure that football was allowed to operate on its own and making sure that the business side was supporting the endeavor of football rather than driving football. I think that's a very key point that probably doesn't get talked about a lot. I know Cliff Kristol's talked about it quite a bit and written about it. But in, you know, maybe the internet, so to speak. It doesn't get spoken about a whole lot, but I think it's important. And I think it's a real driver of their success over the course of the last 30 plus years. Brendan, what's up, man? Hell yes, Yelly going 3 or 4. Random Packer, Alex Green. Alex Green, good pull. And yeah, Yelly, good first day, no doubt about it. Ben, what's up, man? Hey, Nags, so excited for the draft already. Ready to get some more young talent in the team, especially O-line. Thank you for everything you do. Thanks for checking it out, Ben. Really appreciate you being a Care of the G Club member. And yeah, man, lots of new talent to be infused. I just talked with Billy about this a little bit on this week's Care of the G Radio, the podcast. I love the idea of waking up that Sunday morning and pouring over all the new Packers and really diving into who they are and what they bring to the table. But man, this next month, baby, this next month is like the bane of my existence. This is when things start to really kind of, the draft industrial complex really disappears up its own ass for the next kind of 4 weeks or so. And things will be overanalyzed and tons of the lying season is in full swing and lots of rumors will happen that don't mean anything. And I mean, I just wish we could draft this weekend, but they don't. Ed, what's up, man? To have to survive one whole season of wondering if we'll make the playoffs, forever grateful the green and gold entered my blood so many years ago. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? There are plenty of teams out there who go through a decade plus of not winning a playoff game. The Packers take a year off of going to the playoffs and then come in and win a game and come real close to winning another one. And, you know, it's just a testament to the program, to the culture and the way they've built things at 1265. No doubt about it. Abdul, thanks again, man. Was rewatching old highlights. Was there a reason we didn't re-sign Jared Cook? He was the first solid tight end we had after years of mediocrity. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff written and talked about over the course of that offseason when they let Cook walk and then signed Martellus Bennett hot on the heels of that kind of when he signed elsewhere. Man, essentially it came down to he was good, not great. I think his agent felt it was time to like really kind of strike while the iron was hot, so to speak. And the Packers were never going to go with her number. And, you know, they thanked Jared for his services and let him go on his way. I think people forget, yes, if you're watching highlights, no doubt, great season. He was very much a contributor. But there were also plenty of games and plays you could point to where you saw less than stellar play, drops, missed tackle, on missed blocks, things of that nature where, you know, I think the highlights, and especially, of course, the big catch in the Dallas playoff game kind of has skewed perception a little bit. You know, he was inconsistent, you know, throughout that season. And it was very clear that his representatives wanted him to get paid like a big time tight end. And the Packers were not ready to go to that number. And Ted just went to plan B, which was Martellus Bennett, which, of course, ended up blowing up in everybody's face. But yeah, that's for the most part, that's essentially what happened. Soder, what's up, man? I see your Alan Barber and raise a Don Barclay. Now we're getting into the depths of the offseason. We're talking about Don Barclay. That is a truly random Packer. That's pretty good. Abdul, thanks again, man. What Rodgers era playoff team was the weakest? The weakest. Rodgers era playoff team was the weakest. I don't know, man. It's tough not to get right to the, was it 2021 team that lost to the 49ers? The defense played well in that game, but man, they were hard to watch on offense that night. And I don't know. I'm trying to think back to all of the disappointments. I think you can make a case for 2016 just because they were so banged up by the end of it. But I think that's the case for a lot of those teams. I mean, one of the reasons they were hard to watch on offense in 21 is because MVS didn't play. You know, I think Dylan got hurt in the middle of that game on a kickoff coverage. You know, injuries often end up playing a pretty big role. Obviously, 20, Bakhtiari missing. Those game 21 as well. But yeah, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I think they all had their strengths and they all had their weaknesses. But as weakest, I'd probably go with 21. That's just me. What else we got? the people. I have no idea what that's in response to, but I like it. Someone's saying 2011. Now, 2011, they were a victim of the moment. I know things fell apart down the stretch, but, you know, clearly the offense couldn't maintain the insane level of play that they had enjoyed for much of that season. And then things transpired off the field that probably kind of, I don't know, really put them in an odd situation, so to speak, that year. Did Ted Thompson have a good RAS? I'm going to guess not. At his inside backer position down there with the Oilers. 21 was heartbreaking. You're not lying. Larry Elhurt has a throwback to his favorite random Packer, Larry McCarron. That's a good one. Zach in here with some Orioles talk, talking about Corbin Burnes. Yeah, that's great. Brewers are 1-0. I don't want to hear about Corbin Burnes. It's going to make me cry. Glenn, why do you wear headphones? Because it's the only microphone I have that's anywhere decent in my house. I've got a podcast microphone, but it sounds like garbage. I like you guys to have the deep, rich, sonorous tone of my voice at its best possible quality. So this is what I have. And plus, throughout the day, I do a lot of interviews, stuff both on, you know, stuff here for the YouTube channel and other stuff with folks from around the league and inside it and outside it and blah, blah, blah. So I use my headset and it's very easy. Nags, with the pro days going on and more buzz coming from many of them, how does that play into more players not doing much at the combine and waiting for their pro day? A little bit. Actually, it's funny you should ask that because I literally just talked to Richmond Williams about this, the director of pro personnel for the Packers. I did an interview with him for the draft guide, which comes out next week. Make sure you're getting your copy. But I asked him about kind of this trend, right, of guys really waiting for the pro day. You know, it's interesting because the combine seems to be really kind of morphing into a much more entertainment driven entity. You know, but Richmond even said he's, you know, the bulk of players will continue to work out. Like, it is still very much a tentpole of the offseason in the draft process. I think pro days, you know, certainly for injured guys are always going to be the fallback. You know, if they're not able to go fresh off the season at Indy when the combine comes around, they still have the combine to fall back on, or the pro day to fall back on. Not everybody's going to do that. And I don't think it'll ever be a case of like everyone is just doing pro days. I think you'll see more and more of it, though. I think agencies, representatives want their guys to be given the best possible opportunities, and those are going to happen at their pro days where they control everything, right? But I don't think the combine is going to cease to exist anytime soon. They'll still be, you know, they'll still be doing it every offseason, probably not in Indy for much longer, but I don't see that going away anytime soon. G-Said Joey, what's up, man? Just got here. I don't know if you saw that fake news about new unis, thoughts that if they ever did decide to go with a new look. Actually, I did see that fake news, and I actually reached out to the Packers about it because I wanted to make sure it was fake. I can tell you they are looking at a few things as far as alternate uniforms and things of that nature. Probably not for this season, though that could happen. But yes, today's kind of thing that dropped early this morning is nothing official or even remotely true. Menace, what's up, man? We have a plan. Detroit has a plan. Minnesota is in total rebuild, but don't know it yet. Seriously, what the hell are the Bears doing? That roster makes absolutely zero sense. Do they want us to make fun of them forever? I don't know, man. It's like, look, I know we make fun of the Bears here. It's what we do. The Bears still suck, etc. I have a real problem trying to get a handle on polls as a evaluator and roster builder, right? Because I do think some of what he does makes sense, and he makes some really good moves, and then some signings and trades and things where I'm like, what? I do think, you know, I saw him take heat from Packers fans about the Keenan Allen signing, especially if you're or the trade. You know, if you're building around a young quarterback, which he certainly is, and you're trying to build a roster, right, for the long term, it feels weird to sign an oft-injured veteran wide receiver who's, you know, really at the tail end of his career. But on the flip side, I also understand wanting to support him with a guy who can run every route, is a phenomenal route runner, is a great receiver, and probably becomes like your security blanket for your young quarterback just coming into the league. So it's like I can see kind of both sides of most of these things. And look, you still got a ton of draft capital to work with and a boatload of cap space. So he's not done, but we'll see. And as far as Minnesota, man, I don't know. I'm going to be fascinated to see who they jump up and get at quarterback, because obviously that's what they want to do. Who knows if it transpires in such a way that it enables them to do so. But yeah, I mean, talk about they're going to be taking a big swing, and a lot's going to depend on who that is and what their evaluation of him is and how he fits with what they're doing on offense. And it's going to be a big sea change, that's for sure, one way or the other in Minnesota. Peter, random Packer, Louis Aguilar. Wow, talk about deep cuts. Deep, deep cuts. Oh, see, okay, I love these. All right, Bryce B is up in here with a Trump 2024 and a flag emoji. And Bryce, I just want to say this. Hey, man, you're allowed your political opinions. I love it. It's what America's all about, right? We come here to talk about the Packers. That doesn't mean I don't think you shouldn't be able to exercise your right, like you absolutely should. I just ask that you don't put it in the chat, because we come here to talk about the Packers. And I know you thinking I'm a lib and I'm just an asshole and all this stuff, but I'll also let you know that we legit have a happy hour every single week where we have diehard Trump supporters, flaming liberals, and everything in between all come together for an hour and just talk Packers. And that's what I wanted to be here. So I'm not going to block you or anything, but like, just let's not make it political, man. We come here to get away from all that shit. That's how I roll. Bears fans are like my bicycle. No use for it. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. G on the sleeve and number on the pants. Uniforms are really that simple. Soder, I'm begging them to go back to that uniform. And I know there's some people who don't like it, but man, the G on the sleeve and then the number decal on the side of the pants, that was a hot uniform. I am all in on that. Let's go. Parkmaster, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Is Trubisky, Williams, the next king in the North? He could be. We'll see. I mean, I doubt it, but we'll see. I love it. The Bears are just so easy to make fun of. That's what's so great. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night, weekend. See you on Monday. Go Pack, go.